The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Reading and such a wonderful reminder from our Lord to keep praying, because our God is nothing like that unjust judge. We're not bothering him. He doesn't answer us because we bugged him so much he couldn't stand it. He answers us because we love him. So keep that in your hearts, but I'm not going to talk about that this morning. This morning I'm going to talk about the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah. Every week we celebrate Eucharist, and every week I raise the chalice full of wine, and I say these words, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. The Eucharist is the center, it's the heart of our worship together. Other denominations emphasize other parts of worship. For some churches, the sermon is the focus. Once upon a time, we were Presbyterians, and teaching is the thing. Some denominations emphasize the music. We, once upon a time, were non-denominational, and the singing, praise to God, that's the thing. And those things are parts of our worship as well, but for us, because it was established by Jesus himself, and because it has been the center of worship from the very first day of the church, the Eucharist is at the heart. And the Eucharist is an act of remembrance. And so today I wanted to think about, first of all, what it means for us to remember the things that we remember. When we were in school, which was a long time ago for some of us, and not so long ago for others of us, remembering was just something that had to do with keeping facts in our head for a while, often just until the test. How much do we really care now to remember the name of Woodrow Wilson's vice president, or how to conjugate an irregular French verb, because they're all irregular, or how to take a square root? But real remembrance is having things that we care about deeply, things that make a difference in our lives, fixed in our mind. When I expect Carol to remember our wedding day, which she always does, it isn't that I think he's going to forget the day of our marriage, the fact of our marriage. It isn't even that I want to get a nice present. When Carol and I remember our wedding day, we're calling to mind that we pledge to love one another as long as we both live, so that to remember our wedding is to remember that we live in covenant. We live in a covenant of love from that day until now and on into the days to come. We celebrate our anniversary every year in remembrance. Not that we had one special day all those years ago, but that our lives were changed forever on that day. And we give thanks And incidentally, the word Eucharist is Greek for giving thanks. We give thanks for the life and the love that we shared yesterday and share today and will share tomorrow. That is remembrance, holding on to what is true. Jeremiah wrote the words that Charlie just read to us. The days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, know the Lord. They'll all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The new covenant that we remember, the new covenant that we celebrate every week when we raise the cup of our Lord's blood is the new covenant that Jeremiah was talking about. He was a prophet 2,500 big, approximately years ago, in the days when the chosen people of God had become corrupt and unfaithful, in the years when the temple was destroyed and Jerusalem was crushed, and her people were carried away captive by the king of Babylon. That all happened in the time of the first covenant, that old covenant that God had made through Moses when he rescued his people from slavery in Egypt and established them as his own nation. Friday night, this past Friday night, Carol and I watched the movie Fiddler on the Roof for probably the 10th or 15th time. It is a wonderful movie, and part of what makes it so wonderful is the way it depicts the Jewish way of life. That way of life that had its origin in the old covenant that God made with his people. If you've ever seen it, you surely remember the song Tradition, when that hero, Tevye, sings the praises of Jewish life. And he says in the movie, our traditions tell us how to eat and how to wear our clothes, how to pray and how to work. The law of Moses developed over the centuries into this unique and strong and beautiful culture that sets God's people, his chosen people, apart from every other nation, even today. The writer of Psalm 119 that we just read wrote in praise of the old covenant, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The old covenant was a good thing. It was established in love. God says, I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. I was their husband, he says. Through the old covenant, God accomplished what he set out to do, to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt, to bring them into a land where he established them as a new nation. But by the time God had called Jeremiah, the limitations of the old covenant had been revealed. Because it was clear that God's people had utterly failed to keep their end of the covenant. And so God made another promise. I will make a new covenant with them. Not like the old covenant, which they broke, though I was their husband. Because the real failure of the old covenant was this, that it wasn't able to heal the unfaithfulness of the people. The law has power to judge external actions, but it has no power to transform hearts, and the heart is where the real problem of man lies. All men, not the nation of Israel only, but the heart of every human being, our heart. Paul wrote to the Galatians, if a law had been given that it had the power to give life, then righteousness would be indeed by the law. But the law, the old covenant, failed in that one essential thing, to heal what was broken in man by the power of sin. The law of the old covenant was just a guardian until the new covenant would come along, and that one came who would be our righteousness, who would save us from the curse of our sin by becoming sin for us on the cross, and who could share his divine life and his holiness with us. by transplanting his spirit into our human hearts. The new covenant was initiated when God, the Son, put on real flesh and blood and bone in the womb of a young woman and was born into our humanity. Like the old covenant, the new covenant was born out of God's love for us. That didn't change. Every act of God is an act of love. God so loved the world, John wrote, that he gave us his only son, not to condemn the world, but so the world might be saved through him. Even though God's chosen people had broken faith with him, again and again, even though we break faith with him, every day, he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't divorce his faithless wife. Instead, in the new covenant, he reveals himself as the bridegroom who is committed to present us pure and spotless and without blemish. The new covenant was revealed in the works of Jesus' ministry. If you remember when the followers of John the Baptist came to ask Jesus if he was really the one, Jesus said, "Go tell John what you see happening. The blind can see, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised back to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." The new covenant is all about healing, restoring, making things right again. Those are the defining works of the new covenant, healing and new life. And finally, the new covenant was sealed on the cross when Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished." So when we come together every week, we eat the bread and we drink the cup in remembrance that God pledged his human flesh and blood so that we can be healed of our brokenness, that brokenness of our minds and of our bodies and of our hearts. We're not just remembering, memorializing this past event that Jesus died on the cross to save us for our sins and now we're on our own. That's not it. We're proclaiming our continual assurance that our God is doing his work of healing every day, that he will never leave us or forsake us. The new covenant is not like the old covenant in this essential thing, that it goes to the root and cause of the problem of mankind, which is that we've all become separated from God, who is our true home. And on our own, not one of us has the power to make things right again. Jesus shed his blood to cleanse us from our guilt and our shame, but he did more than that. He set his spirit within us to begin this work of healing and transformation and to reconcile us to our Father. And without that healing power of the new covenant, we would be caught forever in this cycle of failure and repentance, throwing ourselves on the mercy of God day after day, only to fail once again. And every time we eat the bread and drink the wine of the Eucharist, we remind each other that not only are we forgiven of all that is past, and that is huge, because we know that the guilt of the past can weigh us down and drown us like a rock tied to us, but also that by the transforming power of the Spirit of Christ, we're being healed day by day of all that selfishness and all that meanness and all that unfaithfulness that looms so impossibly large over us, every one of us. As our God promised through Jeremiah, he's put his law of love into our hearts. It's planted there. It will grow so that we can all know him from the very greatest to the very least of us. When we offer the elements of bread and wine today, plain old bread and plain old wine, until it is blessed and consecrated and transformed, we ask in all confidence that God will do again that miraculous sign of the covenant. We say, "Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him." That is an amazing thing to say. And then we pray in all confidence that God will continue to perform the miraculous work of the new covenant in us, plain old human beings that we are, and that he will bring it to completion. We pray, sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity and constancy and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Remember today that our God has promised to be with us always. Remember in the sign of the new covenant that he's with us in the giving of his own body and blood, that he is here in the bread and wine that we can touch and smell and see and taste, that we can hold in our hands, a tangible sign of new life to us. No more the continual, hopeless, striving day after day of the old covenant, trying to be good on our own strength and then just failing time after time. But the sure hope of the new covenant, healing and transformation, that promise that we will be whole, that we will be fully ourselves at last as we put ourselves into his hands yesterday and today and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.